Begin the current daf Masechta Pesachim, daf Mem Ches. We begin 13 lines down from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues in the discussion from the previous daf, and that is, we had a machlokes between Rabbah and Rav Chisda regarding if we say the concept of hoyel or not. And that is, if we say that something is forbidden to do on Yom Tov, let's say baking for non-Yom Tov purposes, which is not permitted, it's only for Eichel Nefesh purposes. However, do we say hoyel, that since if I were to, let's say, have guests come, then it would be permitted because then I would be feeding them, which is a Yom Tov Eichel Nefesh purposes. Therefore, even though I'm not doing it for that now or not, would that be permitted? That we had a machloiger. So the Gemara continues on that and says that Amir Rama Bar Chama, Rama Bar Chama says, Hadar Rav Chisda v'Rabba. This machloiger is Rabba and Rav Chisda, as we just mentioned, that they argued regarding Yom Tov. If someone cooks from Yom Tov to the weekday, would we say he's going to get Malkus or not? Which is based on the principle, if you say Hoyel or not, and that is according to the opinion of Rav Chisda, that you do not say Hoyel, you're going to get Malkus, because ultimately now, you finish your Yom Tov meals, you're baking for Yom Tov, that's prohibited in that time. According to Rabbi, you're not going to get Malkus. Hoyel, since if guests would come, this would be for Yom Tov purposes, therefore one would not get Malkus. And that Rama Bachama says, this is a machlekes, in our Mishnah from a few blad ago, this same machlekes they're arguing about, if you say Hoyel, which was in regarding the case of if someone had a dough that was tameh, what was the halacha was argued in the Mishnah, how would one go ahead be mafrish the challah from that dough? And that is because there's three different approaches, and all of them are problematic, because this cannot be given to the kayin, because he can't bake it, because he cannot consume challah that's tameh, and if he's going to have it, it's going to become chametz stick. So therefore it's problematic, and we can't just burn this. So how do you go ahead and you need to go, if you want to eat that dough on Yom Tov, to bake it and turn it to matzah, you have to take off challah. But you can't take off challah, because if you do, it cannot be burnt, because you can't burn kachem on Yom Tov, and you can't give it to the kohen, because he can't bake it, it's going to turn into chametz, and you can't just leave it, because then it'll turn into chametz. So what do? So Jibalaza, his opinion was that the way around this problem is first you bake all the doughs, and then afterwards, you call one of them challah. Oh, now that it's challah, you could just let it sit there. You can't go ahead and consume it because challah tameya. But when you baked it, that was not a problem. Rabbi Elazar holds, obviously, savar min hayil. He holds that we say hayil, and that is, although eventually, yes, one of the doughs that you're baking, you will designate as challah. And ultimately, retroactively, it comes out that you were doing a malacha of baking at least one of the doughs on Yom Tov, not for Eichel Nefesh purposes, because this dough is challah, at least retroactively, and that we know one of them is going to be challah, and that cannot be consumed in Yom Tov because it's tameh. The only one who can consume challah is the kohen, and he can't because it's tameh. However, in spite of that, Rabbi Elazar says you can first bake them and then call it challah, and that's based on the principle of hayil. And that is, since if he wanted, although we know one of these doughs he's going to give to the kohen as challah, but he didn't have to give one of the challahs for one of the doughs as challah, he could break off from each individual piece of dough one small piece to give that as the challah portion of that part of the dough. And since he could say that, therefore you're allowed to bake it, because ultimately, although you're giving one of them and one of the doughs are being baked not for Yom Tov purposes, but since I could have done it in a way that each dough would be baking for myself and then cracking off a piece for the kind of that dough, therefore, even if I'm going to ultimately give one of the doughs to him in the full, that full matzah, it's still permitted because of hayil. Rabbi Yeshua said that you're not allowed to go ahead and bake it and then later call it challah. Rather, he says, you know what, just be mafresh the challah, leave it, let it turn into chametz. And that is, as we had explained, because he holds it's not a problem of it becoming chametz, because it's not your own chametz, it's a gevoy, it's Hashem's, it's the koyin, but it's not the koyin's yet either, because he didn't acquire it. So it's not a problem of liro lecha, it's not shalcha. So therefore he held, just leave it there. And he says, but he didn't take the idea of Rabbi Elazar that you should bake it, which sounds like a pretty good idea too. Bake it, there's no problem, you have hoyel, and then you'll make it as challah, and then there's no problem about just sitting it around, because it's not going to turn to chametz anymore, it's already baked. He didn't say that, because he held that we do not say hoyel to permit one of the malachas of Yom Tov, specifically the malach of Yom Tov, and therefore he said that no, just leave it there, because you can't do the Eitzah of Rabbi Elazar, because that would be doing a malach of the Raisa on Yom Tov, which is not permitted, because although you could say, I could do, but that's not what you're doing. We don't say hayil. And therefore, you're baking one of them for a non-Eichel Nefesh purpose on Yom Tov, which is the challah tameya. So that's what Rambam Bachama wanted to say. He wanted to say this machlokes Amram really is a machlokes in our mission already. Amar Papa says no. The Dilma, maybe it's not true. And the Gemara says both ways it's not necessarily true. And that is, Ad kan lekam Rabbi Elazar has some demin hayil. Maybe over there, you're right, it seems that he's basing the principle on hayil. But it doesn't necessarily mean that he argues on Rav Chisda that you don't say hoyel in the case that they were talking about. Because when would you say this principle of hoyel that you could bake all the doughs even though one of them ultimately you're going to make is challah. El de beidna de ka'ay l'tanur, because at the time when you were putting all the doughs into the oven, you could say that kol chad v'chad chaz l'didei. Ultimately, you could say that each dough is, even without the principle of hayil, you don't have to say that since. It's not true. When I'm putting it in, I could still decide by each one to say this is not the challah one, this is not the challah one. I'm still have to designate one of them, and therefore each one internally doesn't have a status yet of something that's forbidden. And therefore, yes, that's why each one of them are permitted to be baked, although one of them will be given as challah. However, here where it's only fit for guests, this guy already ate his whole Yom Tov meal, and he didn't invite guests yet. So since for him it's not fit, maybe I would say that Rebbe Elazar would hold that it wouldn't be hayal to permit it, even according to Rebbe Elazar. Although he permits it, it's not a raya that he holds like Rabbi, not like Rebbe Chisda. He would say, no, you wouldn't say hayal, because what does that mean, hayal since? What do you mean? You're making stuff on Yom Tov. You finish your Yom Tov meals. There's no option right now. You're saying there hypothetically something could happen that we wouldn't necessarily say. And same thing in reverse. Amar Rav Sheshet Bar Yehuda of Idi, B'dim Allahi, maybe it's not the same machlokes as Rabbi Rav Chisda in our Mishnah, because regarding Rabbi Shua's opinion, that Ad Kan L'Kam Rabbi Shua Hasam D'Loy Min Hayel, where did we find Rabbi Shua said that we do not say Hayel, which sounds like Nalik Rabba? That was El De'ika Chada D'Loy Chaz. That was because ultimately there is one that's not going to be fit, loyli didei b'loyli arachin, not for him, not for guests, because ultimately, you're going to be taking, as we said, one of them for challah to give to the kain, which, because, as Rashi explains, it's not the norm to go ahead and break off a piece from each one and say, okay, this is the challah, this is the challah. You're going to take one of them and give it to the kain, and therefore, there is going to be one piece that's not fit for anybody. And therefore, that's where you don't say hayal. But in this case of Rabbi Rav Chisda, where all the pieces are fit, whatever you're baking on Yom Tov, even for the weekday, it is fit mias la'orchin, it is at least for guests. And guests are somewhat commonplace that they could come. Maybe I would say Yeshua would agree that in that case you would say hell to permit it, and therefore even according to Yeshua, it's not necessarily that he would hold that you don't say hell in the case of Rabbi Rav Chisda. And again, therefore the Gemara says it's inconclusive to say that the machlekes of Rabbi Elazar and Yeshua in our Mishnah is the same machlekes of Rabbi Rav Chisda, and each one could say that each opinion would really hold like him and their machlekes of hell. So the Gemara says, Amru Rabban. The Rabban said over this statement of Ram Bachama that the machlekes Rabbi Rav Chisda is the same machlekes of Rabbi Elazar and Yeshua in our Mishnah. Kamed Reb Yirmiya v'Reb Zera. In front of these two great Talmid Chacham, Reb Yirmiya Zera. So Reb Yirmiya Kibla. Reb Yirmiya was Mekabel. This, yes, it seems like this is the Machlokes. Reb Zera like Kibla, he did not accept. So Amalei Reb Yirmiya Reb Zera. Reb Yirmiya said to Reb Zera, who didn't want to accept this interpretation in our Mishnah, he said, Milsa de Kashilon v'Asa Kamishani. This Mishnah, so difficult for us, so many years, but my plegi Rebbe Yeshua, exactly what are they arguing about? As Rashi explains, what's so difficult, what their machlokes is, what do we do with this Isa Temeya to be mafresh l'chala on Yom Tov, is because regarding the principle that we have said in the previous daf, that you're arguing about this concept of, if we say toives hano, that the pleasure of the gratitude of giving over this, in other words, he has to give it to the kohen, but he gets to choose who, that has monetary value. And that, Rashi says, that, and that's why they were saying that we were bothered. We didn't have a real interpretation in the Machlokes and the Mishnah. That alone would not be enough of a factor to define the Machlokes. Because even if you'll say that according to Eliezer, that we consider the Tavas and the ability to choose which coin you want to give it to as monetary value, and therefore we consider it as yours, and that's why he held you have to bake it, and then later call a chai, you can't just let it sit like Rabbi Yeshua, because it's ultimately on some level your chametz, it has monetary value to you, and that's going to be probably your alacha. But that still doesn't understand Rebbe Elazar's opinion. Because, fine, so there's the Isser of Leir Alacha, but now when you're going to be baking all the doughs, and one of them ultimately is going to be Chalat Temeya, you're going to be over on the Lav of Leisasa Kamalacha, because you're baking something for Narech and Nefesh purposes, and that's forbidden, a Malacha Dairais and Yom Tov. And therefore, it would be better to transgress by default, by not doing anything, the Issa of Bal Yirah and Bal Yimatzah, of just letting it ferment and leaven and turn it to chametz, and not to do an active action of being over on the loss, aloysev, and doing it bepoil with an action. And therefore, we didn't really ever truly understand this machlokes Rabbi Elazar and Yeshua. What is the pshat in Rabbi Elazar that he says you bake? And a hashdam ruah mishmei degavir rabbi. Now we said over a statement in front of a great Talmud Chacham, that of a Rami Bacham, who gave us an explanation for the machlokes Rabbi Elazar and Yeshua, that they're arguing the principle of Rabbi and of Chizda, if you say hoyle or not, v'loy nekabla, and you're not accepting this interpretation, what do you mean? What else is the understanding? So on that, Amalei Reb Zeira responded to him, Hecha Akabla, how could I accept this interpretation? The Tanina, when we learned the Braisa, they would seem to refute this interpretation of Rabbi Bachama. Because Amalei Reb Yeshua, the Braisa says, Reb Yeshua said to Reb Eliezer, L'dvarecha, according to your opinion, that you bake it and then later on you call one of them Chalam, Harehu Oivra Mishum Leisasa Kamalachi is being Oivra, as we just explained, the Issur D'oraisa of baking on Yom Tov for non-Yom Tov purposes, because the Challah Tameh cannot be consumed by anyone, and for sure not on Yom Tov. Therefore, you're transgressing the Issur Malacha of baking. The Shasa claimed, the Bryce says, the Rebbe was quiet. He didn't respond. Now, V'i Issa, and if it would be like Rami Bachama had interpreted, what do you mean? Leim Elei Rebbe Elazar should have responded. Time in the Dimishim Hoyle. You want to know why I don't consider it a Chil of Yom Tov, that it's not Leisasa Kamalacha? Because of the principle of Hayil, that since if it were to be that I would choose to do it the other way, let's say the break of a piece of each one, it would not be transgressing, and therefore it's not necessarily a transgression. So why was he quiet? Obviously he was quiet because he doesn't hold of Hayil, and therefore he didn't really have a good response to Rabbi Yeshua, and that's why he was quiet. On that, Amalei, Rabbi Yirmiyahu responded to him, wait a second. According to your understanding, that you're trying to not accept Rambam Chama, that Rebbe Elazar would hold of Hoyle because he was quiet, and he shouldn't have been quiet. Obviously, shtika kaida, being quiet is like admitting that I don't have a good response, and obviously that it would be a chil of leisasa malacha. But had the tanina bebraisa, this we learned in the braisa, the reverse. Amalei Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Elazar said to Rebbe Yeshua, l'dvarecha, according to your words, that you say you don't bake. Just be mafresh l'chala, hold on to it, and if it turns into chametz, fine. It's not your own chametz. But what do you mean? How can you not bake it? You're right, you're telling me I'm over leisasika malacha, of doing malacha for a non-Yom Tov purpose, because it's not edible for anybody. But the problem is, but your opinion has the problem of just it's sitting around, it's going to turn into chametz, you can't have chametz in your house. Vishasikle, and Rishu was quiet. Now, are you going to tell me, hochenami de loyahadule, that he didn't respond to him, and you're trying to prove from there that he agreed to that? But hochenahadule b'masdidin, but he did respond in our Mishnah, it's not like we learned the Mishnah. Rabbi Shura said, Leizehu chametz shemizharon alav mishum b'ayirah b'ayimotzah. This is not a problem b'ayirah b'ayimotzah. That's not the type of chametz we warned about, because it's not loyirah l'cha. It's not shalcha, it's not your own chametz. Once you give it and make it as challah, it's Hashem's challah, so to speak. And it's Hashem's, it's not my own, and it's the only problem if it's my own chametz. Elos shasik lebe b'raisa. What you have to say is that he was quiet to him in the b'raisa, mahad lebe masin, and responded to him as we have in our Mishnah. Sachinami emer shasik lebe masin. Therefore, we could say over here very clearly also, Rebbe Elazar was quiet to him with his saying that you're oivon lasazik malacha in the b'raisa. Vahad lebe mechil tachriti, but he responded to him elsewhere in other tanoig b'raises or somewhere else. And therefore, you could say that in truth they argue about two different things, as Rashi explains. And therefore, we could go with Rambam Chama. Don't try to disprove it because of this concept that he was shasikli. Because you see, shasikli doesn't necessarily mean that was conclusive and he did not respond to him elsewhere. What are these two machlegas ultimately between Rebbe Elazar and Rishua? Rebbe Elazar holds, first of all, as the Gemara had explained in the previous daf, that Tevis and Na is Mamet. That ultimately this chametz is considered my chametz, this though. Because the fact that I could choose which kind to give this challah to has monetary value and I have some stock in this. Therefore, if it becomes chametz when it's in my property, I will be over on the issa of chametz. So therefore, you got to bake it beforehand. Now, what's with the problem about baking it? That seemed to have been problem of leisasa kamalacha. On that, Rebbe Elazar would hold a second opinion that there is no isser. That says like Rambam Chama said because of hoyel. That since you could say each one is fit for me and I will take it for myself and I could do it in a different way, therefore hoyel will say that I'm not even being over on leisasa kamalacha. Now, Rebbe Yeshua holds on both opinions, not like Rebbe Elazar. First of all, he holds that the chametz is not your chametz. It's not his own money because Tevis Ano is not money. Ultimately, this is not my thing. I have some. I can get something out of it, but that doesn't mean it's considered my money, my chametz. And therefore, there's no problem about it becoming chametz on my property. Now, however, if you were to bake it, like Rebbe Elazar says, you would be over on the Issur D'oraisa of Leisasa Kamalacha because he does not hold of the principle of Hoyel, as we said. Now, Rashi clarifies that this that the Gemara had said on the previous daf, that according to everybody, Tevis Ano is not Mammon, that he says the Gemara did not know then at that point what Rebbe Elazar had responded to Rebbe Yeshua, that he said, we just quoted, that, what do you mean? You can be over according to you, Bal Yerah, Bal Yimotzah. So obviously he held that Tevis Ano is considered Mammon. And therefore, again, what the Gemara is concluding right now is that you could say, like Rambam Chama, that the Machlekes between Rebbe Elazar and Yeshua is in the Machlekes of Rabbi Ben Chizda in the principle of Hoyel. Now, the halacha, the Gemara says, the Tanya, we're learning the Braisa. Rabbi Amir Rebbe says, halacha follows Rebbe Eliezer. When you have which what we had quoted in our Mishnah. This machlokes is three ways what we should do with this dough that became tamei. We're going to be mafresh l'chala on Yom Tiv, because you want to go ahead and bake it, but you have to take off challah. First you bake it, and then you call one of them challah. However, Rabbi Yitzchok says halacha kibem b'seir, halacha falls like kibem b'seir, who he was the third opinion there that was mentioned second, that what you should do is you put it into cold water, and that will prevent it from leavening, because it needs some heat, and that's what you should do. You should separate it, but put it into cold water. Then the Braisa continues on this topic about doughs becoming chametz stick. The kamashir isa, now how much is the measurement of a dough that you're allowed to knead on Pesach, and not more than that, because we want to be careful that it should not become chametz stick, and you're dealing with too much dough, it might be difficult to prevent it from becoming chametz stick. So how much dough do we allow you to knead at one time on Pesach? So Shmuel ben Yishev b'Yechim and b'Reko, he says, b'chitin, when it's wheat flour, then it's kav, and then it's two kav. U'b'sa'irin, when it's barley flour, then it's shloisha kav, and then you could have even three kav at one time. He said it's the exact opposite, because to the contrary, barley becomes chametz stick quicker, therefore that you're only allowed to have two kavan, whereas chitin is not as easily becoming chametz stick, and therefore there you're allowed to have three kavan. So that was the two opinions mentioned in this brisa. Now the Gemara asks, but Tan Belinda brisa seem a contradiction. Rabbi Shmuel ben Yishev b'Yechim and b'Reiko Eimer, he says b'chitin shloishes kavan. He says three kav by wheat flour, which is not like the previous brisa said that it's only two kavan. U'b'sa'irin arba kavan. Yet by barley, where in the first brisa he said three, here he says four kavan. Another Gemara said, look, Kash, not a contradiction, because ha, the second brisa b'chasi chas is talking about by inferior grade, and ha, the first one's talking about b'mayasa by higher quality, and that is by the lower quality. Three of the low grades type of grain is only like two a kavan of the higher grade. And that is, the higher grade leavens quicker than the lower grade. And therefore, the second brisa that allowed a higher amount of measurement was talking about lower grade grain. And that's why it was three or four respectively and not two and three. Because it was lower grade, it's not going to become chametz as fast. So based on this, Amar Papa says, Shmami no, we can infer regarding business transactions, regarding mekech and memcher, that green chiti chasi chasa mechiti mal yasa, that it's a lower dip. It's worse off inferior wheat flour from higher grade wheat flour than tfei midigrin sari chasi chasa misari mal yasa, than what's worse by the lower grade barley than the higher quality barley, as he explains. The ilohasim, whereas over there by wheat flour, tilso, there's a discrepancy of the third that we said regarding the higher quality, it allows only two kav, and by the lower quality, we allowed three kav. So we see that the discrepancy is a third of a kav, whereas the hacha over here by barley flour is only riva, only a quarter. That is, the higher quality, we allowed three kav. The lower quality, we let four kav. So we see that the dip is only a quarter, and therefore, ultimately, when it comes to business, people should know that regarding wheat flour, the lower quality is proportionately worse off to the higher quality than the case by barley. So now, on this topic, with measurements and regarding the halachas of how much dough you can use on Pesach, Amar Rav, Rav says, Kava melagna, a kav of the place of melagna, which that is the measurement for two things. That type of a kav is lepischa, the amount of dough on Pesach that you're allowed to knead at one time for matzah, and you can't do more than that because we're afraid that it's going to be too much, it's going to turn into chametz. V'chein l'chala, and the same thing is the amount of the measurement of dough for the entire year to be chayv v'chala. If you're going ahead and you're making that amount of dough at one time, that's the shev chala. Which the Gemara asks, but Tanya, which the correct year says, but now we learn the Mishnah, Mesechtes Challah, and we continue on Talmud Beis, that it says that the shear of Challah is chameshes revoim kemach vi'oid, that five quarters, and that is five quarters of a kav of flour and a little bit more, which is one and a quarter of a kav, are chayav machala, is chayav machala, as Rashi goes through the whole cheshbin, as we had learned Mesechtes Erevin regarding this whole cheshbin about the measurements, but ultimately what the Gemara is asking is, how can you say it's a kav malagna, that it's one kav? Here we have clearly in the Mishnah Maseches Challah, it says it's one and a quarter. And that the Gemara says, hachikama, what we were saying is, kva malagnoi nami. In other words, this kav of this place, malagna, is a high shirikoi, is exactly the one and a quarter shir of a regular kav, and therefore there's no contradiction. So however, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, he says, regarding the ultimate custom, although he said that we just gave the shir how much dough you're allowed to need on Pesach, regarding because we're concerned about becoming chametz stick, however, hani noshi didan, Our women, their custom is that they only need a kfiza, which is three lugan, which is only three quarters of a kav. They would only need that amount at a time when they were kneading on Pesach as a stringency, because to be careful of it becoming chametzik, although we allowed up to a kav malugna. However, they would do it only three quarters of a regular kav, because they were concerned about becoming chametz. So my Abai responds and says, "My daitcha, what is your thought over here? L'chumr, you're saying that that's like praiseworthy because they're being stringent. They don't want to become chametzik. However, chumr da'asal de'kulahu. It's a stringency. They will ultimately come to a leniency, and therefore don't be such a chassid, because there's problems that might come out of it. To come mafkele mechala, because by doing this, by not doing the amount that they could do at one time, which we just said before, there's two things that have that shear. One is that that's the maximum you could have for making on Pesach because of becoming chametz. But that's also the shear that's mechayev and challah. Now, if they're not doing the maximum right now, they're doing less than that, they're going to be excluding themselves from the mitzvah challah. That's not good either, because we want them to be mechayev, the mitzvah challah. So Amalei responded to him, no, it's not a problem. The avdin k'Reb Eliezer, because they do like Reb Eliezer. The Tanya and the true guess is the Tanan, like we learned the Mishnah, Masechtas Challah. Reb Eliezer says, Haraida v'noisn l'sal. If someone takes the breads out of the oven and he puts it into a basket, hasal mitzarv al chal, the basket combines them to have the requisite shear, to like as have that shear, whatever it is, of the one and a quarter of kav, together now to be mechoyev and chal. And therefore, our women are not exempting themselves from challah, because although they're only kneading less in a share at a time, but ultimately when they bake them all and put it into the same basket, the basket will join them together, and then they're going to have one and a quarter and even more, and then they can take off a piece of challah and be mekayim the mitzvah. On that, Amalei, Abaya asked him, but regarding that halacha, we said, we did not say that they joined together. That's only by the Babylonian loaves of bread, or in this case matzah, where they're so to speak biting one and the other. And what that means is because they would be wide and round types of breads, like Rashi says in their times they had those type of breads, their doughs. And when they would attach them one next to another in the oven, they would bite, they would get connected to each other. And therefore it was like one piece. And that's why that even at a later point we could consider them one to go ahead and be mafresh challah. Of a ka'achin, however, if they were long and narrow, and they're not biting of each other, then lie, then you wouldn't be. So how could you say regarding the matzah, where here we're saying that they're separate, that they're going to be combining, it has to have been that they're connected and biting on each other. On that heart, Ma'aloi says, no, we had learned regarding that, and Rechanina afil a ka'achin. Rechanina says, no, it's even if they're the long and narrow, that they're not biting of each other, you don't need to have biting, and therefore it's not a problem. We would still be able to have our women, although they're needing less, to be mechoyev and challah when they join them in the basket later on. So now regarding this halacha that we just said, that the kli is mitzarefet, the basket combines them, Boya B'Yemiya asked, Tavla, regarding a board, she'ein lo levizvizin, that it doesn't have a lip around it, it does not have something as containing it in the surface area around it. And now someone takes bread out from the oven and he puts it onto this board. Now what is the halacha? Will we say that according to Reb Eliezer, even here would be combining, or do we say not? And the explanation of this question is, toich kli be'inon v'alaka, do we need the internal area of the vessel that you don't have, because there is no inside of it, because there's no rim surrounding it on the outside? Adilma aver kli be'inon, or maybe you only need to have the ear space of the vessel, and you have the ear space, you just don't have what's called toich, the inside. And therefore, vohaika, since you have that, that should be considered that they're joining together. And I says, take or let it stand. It's not clear what he would hold in such a case. Do you have to have a rim or not? So the Gemara summarizes the opinions that we had mentioned. Tanya Lina Braisa. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Hasal Metzarfen. A basket combines them. That's enough, even though they would need it separately. However, that would combine that you would take off challah. Rabbi Shua says, even Tana Metzarfen. Even the oven could combine them. Even if you don't even put it into the same basket, since they're baking in the same oven, that would be enough. He says, only the Babylonian doughs, those breads where they bite one another, they get connected because they're wide and they're round. Them it starfish, they join together. However, if it's made kach and it's made long and narrow, then they will not join together to be mechuyiv in challah. Again, unless if you would be kneading the shear of a one and a quarter kav when you're doing the kneading of the dough. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, also continuing on the same theme about baking dough on Pesach. So the Mishnah says, Rav Gamliel Omer, Shalish Nashim Loshes Ka'achas. You could have three women kneading dough at the same time, V'ayfiz b'tana echad, and they'll be baking the same oven, zu'achar zu, one after another. And that is because the oven was small, and each one would be filling up the whole oven with just their dough. However, although you're going to have them all kneading at the same time, and they're going to be waiting in line for the oven, there's no problem of chametz, and that's, again, even though the last one's going to have to wait for two people to bake before she puts it into the oven, the Reb Gamliel's opinion is that's not a problem. The Chachamim, however, the Chacham says, no, you can't be so lenient that to say that they're all going to be able to knead at the same time, because then you can have one person waiting for that amount of time for the two people before her for the matzah to get baked. Rather, shalosh nashim oiskis bebatzik ka'achas. You could have three women involved in their dough at one time, but not necessarily kneading it at the same time. And as the Chacham explained, you have achas lasha, you have one woman kneading, which that's the last woman on this chain, the achas ereches, and you have the middle one who's forming her, shaping her dough at that same time, the achas eifa, and you have the third one who she's the one that kneaded first, she's baking at that same time. So, and the Gemara is going to explain exactly the order of this, but basically you can have all three being involved in their dough at the same time, but not doing the same process. They can't all be kneading at the same time, because then there's going to be a wait. Rather, at the time when one is baking, one is shaping, and the other one is kneading, and as the Gemara will explain, that cycle. B'Kiva says, Loi kal hanashim. Not all the women, in other words, there are women that are lazy and they will become chametz if they wait that long. V'loi kal ha'etzim, and not similarly all the firewood. V'loi kal tanurim, and not all the ovens, and that is there's an oven that doesn't get hot so fast, there's wood that doesn't get consumed so fast. Shoven, they're not all the same. You can't just give a generic statement and think it's going to be the same because all women and firewood and ovens are all different. However, the Mishnah concludes Zakala, but this is the general rule. Tafach. If the dough in our hand, she sees that it's about to swell, tiltish, she should make it wet with her hands, but soin with cold water, and that by putting it on, the cold water will cool it down, and that will prevent her from becoming chametzik. So the Gemara brings a brisa to Rabban, which elaborates on this opinion of the Rabban that we had said, that you can't have three kneading at the same time, but you can have three being involved in the dough at the same time. And that is because we don't want any woman to be idle sitting around, like if they will all be kneading at the same time and they'll all be forming at the same time. They can't all be baking at the same time because only room for one, and then they're going to have to wait for two, but they can all be involved. As the Bryce explains, Losha, the first one goes and she begins to knead. Himikatefes. And then she shapes it. In other words, again, the oven was very small and she was able to go ahead and shape it and putting it to the oven. Now, the chaverta, losha tachta, her friend, now, once she's shaping, now the second one can go ahead and begin to knead. Mikatefes, now when this first one is shaping the dough and she completed that, now after she did the second step, she's up to the last step. He eifa, now she bakes it and she puts it into the oven. The chaverta, now her friend who was kneading up until now, mikatefes tachta. She goes and she shapes now, and her friend was shaping till now. Now, when her friend is baking it, now she's shaping. Now the third one begins. V'hashlishas lasha. And now the third one begins to knead. Oifa, now when the first one completed her baking, and the middle one completed her shaping, and the last one completed her kneading, now the middle one, who was up until now shaping, she goes to bake. And the last woman, who up until now she was kneading, she goes to shape. And now Eifa, now when the first one finished her baking, and again, and the middle one finished her shaping, and the last one finished her kneading. So we have all three stages with all three women. And now the middle one, that up until now, she was shaping, now she's baking, and her friend, the last one, she goes and she shapes now in place of her. So now after we finish all the processes of each one, now hilosha. Now the first one goes back and she begins kneading. And as we had said before, because their ovens were very small and you couldn't have more than one of them baking at a time. The chaverta, now the second one, she is oifetachta. Now she bakes in place of her. Bashlish is mekatefes. Now the third one moves on to shaping. V'chayz is chalila. And this cycle continues itself. Like the word chalila, Rashi says, comes from the word mechoil, which means to dance, which people go around and dance in a circle. This is the cycle, basically, when each one is doing one process, the other one is in the other one, then they continue to move. So the first one begins again, kneading, and then she moves on to shaping, then the first one, then the second one goes to knead, and then she moves up to baking, and then the second one is doing the forming, and then the first one's doing the kneading, and then when she finishes baking, they each move up, and they go in that cycle again. That's how the Rabban hold, because why is that? Because kosman she'oiskes, but ain't as long as you're involved in your dough, it's not gonna leaven and turn into chametz. And therefore, it doesn't make a difference. As long as you're either kneading it, or you're shaping it, or it's baking, it's not gonna come to chametz. But they all could be involved at the same time, but you can't do like the other opinion said, just let it wait for the other two to be baking if they're doing all kneading at the same time, because that's gonna allow it to become chametz. So the Gemara quotes from our Mishnah that says, Rabbi Kiva said, you can't give such a generic statement to allow the women, like Rabbi Gamliel had said, just to sit around and to all to be kneading at the same, because they're not all women are the same. And there's going to be difference depending on the woman, depending on the firewood, depending on the oven. And therefore, you can't give such a general statement, because maybe by one, it will become chametz in that time of, amount of time to wait. Tanya Lena Brysa that elaborates on this. Remember, Bekiva said, "Danti lifnei Rav Gamliel." I was discussing this in front of Rav Gamliel, who he said a general statement. He says, "You know what? You could have three women kneading at the same time, and that what ultimately that means is that one of the women is going to have to wait after she's done the whole process for two people to bake, and then only then, and she's not going to be doing anything with that the whole time." So he said to Rav Gamliel, "Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu, our teacher, teach us this halacha. Are you talking about benashim zrizis? Are you talking about by women that have alacrity, they're quick? Like benashim shein zrizis are women that are lazy, they're not quick. Are you talking about be'etzem lachem? Are you talking about by moist firewood? Are you be'etzem yaveshim? Are you talking about by dry firewood? Betan lachem, are you talking about a hot oven? Are you talking about a cold oven? What is this? How long do we know? How much time are you giving to allow the woman to wait that amount of time? It depends on all these different in context. So Amalir Mil said to me, he says, look, ein locha ela masha shana chacham. You only have what the Chacham said. And this is the Messiah that three women could be kneading at the same time. But Zehakal, this is the general rule. Tafach, if the woman that's waiting for the two other women, when she's waiting for her turn to bake, that she sees it's swelling, tiltish betzaynish, she should make it wet and put it into the cold water on top of it, and that will prevent it from becoming chametz. But there is no difference if she's lazy, if it's dry firewood, what type of oven it is. It doesn't make a difference. That's the Messiah. Three could be baking at the same time. It can be kneading at the same time, and if she sees that it might become to chametz, do that process now prevent it from becoming chametz. Now the Gemara moves on to the next Mishnah, again, continuing on this theme about dough on Pesach. So the Mishnah says, seer, regarding seer, which is dough that did not fully leaven yet, it's somewhere in between in the process of becoming chametz. Yisar, if you have to burn it, however, if one consumes it, it's not full-fledged chametz, the person will be exempt. However, regarding siduk, which is already, it turned into chametz, and that's why it's all cracked, that has cracks in it, you have to burn it, and then if someone consumes that, he'll be chayef for karas. Now, the Mishnah explains, and it's a machlekes, what are these two terms of seer and siduk? So, the Mishnah says, ezehu seer, what is this seer? That's kekarni chagovim, that's like the antennas of locusts. And that is, what does that mean? That means there's a crack going one way and a crack going the other way. Siduk, what is siduk that we said? That's full-fledged chametz. You'll get karas if you eat that. That's cracked. Shenis arvu siduk in zebezeh. That already the cracks started crisscrossing. They started passing one another. Then it's going to be full-fledged chametz. That's divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's opinion Rabbi Yehuda. Then you'll get karas. Whereas the chachamim, the chachamim say no. Zebezeh, both the karnei chagavim one and the one that you called siduk, they're both going to be chayev karas on them. They're both considered siduk. And ho'echle chayev karas, one that consumes it will be chayev karas. Now, ve'ezehu siu, what is this siu that we had said that a person would be exempt on if they ate it? It's talking about that there is no crack whatsoever, because if it has any cracks, even kekarnei chagavim, that would be considered already siduk, like full-fledged chametz. So what is siur? Kol sheikh sif upon it, it's just that the surface of the dough already paled, like a person that his hair is standing on end, and that is from the fright and the trembling, his face pales, and his hair is standing on end. That look is what the dough has. That's already a sign that it's already turning into chametz. That's seer, that's, you have to burn it, but if you consume it, there's no chiv of karas. So the Gemara clarifies this, and says, Tanarban, we learn the braisa. Izehu seer, what is seer? So we have this machlekes. Kol sheikh sif upanav, if the surface, if the face of it already turned pale, ka'adim sha'am desarez, like a person that is here standing on end. What is siduk? What are these, well, that's cracks that you'll be chayiv karasan? That's kikarni chagovim. That's even like the horn, that's the antennas of locusts. Divrei Meir, that's been never made. Achamayim achamim say, ezehu siur, what is siur, that's kikarni chagovim, that one would be exempt on that from karas if he ate it. And what is siduk? Shenis arva siduk and zebezeh, that the cracks are crisscrossing. And on either one of these, on the seer or the siduk, if you eat it, you'll be chayiv karas. Now, obviously, as Rashi explains, which is what the base of the Gemara's question is, that the chama, the braisa, is the same as Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah in their terminology of what seer and siduk is, and the chama, the Mishnah, is Rabbi Meir that we're quoting here in the braisa. So the difficulty becomes is v'hanan tana, but we learned in our Mishnah, we said sir yisarif, that the sir has to be burnt. However, v'oichli potter, however, whoever eats it is exempt, of Rabbi Yehuda, that's the understanding of Rabbi Yehuda. And that is, in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said that one is exempt, on, in other words, what Rabbi Yehuda calls sir, on that we said that he's going to be exempt if he eats it, although he says that you have to burn it, but you're not going to be chayiv, not malchus, not karas. But in the Braisa, he says that on both his sir and on the siddik, if you consume it, you will be chayiv karas. So how do we resolve the contradiction? And the Gemara says, Ema, let's say that when the Braisa concludes, after it quotes the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, what is sir, what is siddik, that l'remeir, Remei was saying on Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that zev zev, both the seer and siddik of Rabbi Yehuda, ha'oichli chayiv karas, if someone eats it, he would be chayiv karas. And that is what he means to say is whether it's the seer Rabbi Yehuda, which is kanach agavim, like the antennas of locusts, or whether what Rabbi Yehuda called siddik, both of them you chayiv karas, because Remei considers both, which is the Chum of HaMishnah, considers both the seer and siddik of Rabbi Yehuda as siddik. He considers both of them as a siddik. And what he considers seer is only if it pales. And therefore, on both these cases of Rabbi Yehuda, you would be chayav kar. So therefore, it's not a contradiction because it's actually Rabbi Meir who is summing it up and not Rabbi Yehuda. And that the Gemara concludes, Amar Rava, Rava says, so my time with Rabbi Meir, what is the understanding of Rabbi Meir? Why does he say that kanech agavim, when the cracks are going separate and not crisscrossing, that's already siduk, that's already on a low level, why would he consider that to be considered full-fledged chametz to be chayav karas? And that he says, ein lecho kol sedik v'sedik milmal, because there are no cracks that are above, she'ein lekama sedakim milmata, that does not have many cracks beneath the surface, inside it though. And therefore, although you're right on the top, it only has kekanech agavim, that it's going in divergent directions. However, you should just know, that means obviously that inside, it's already tons of cracks that are crisscrossing, and that's why it's chametz kamer.